Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, October 7, 2021. The Vatican donates cash for flood victims in South Sudan.
When the issue of the flood also came up, he saw that the people of South Sudan need to be assisted, need to be helped, not only by prayers, but also maybe with also some kind of material assistance. That is why this donation came.
And the Bank of South Sudan blocks several accounts belonging to South Sudanese activists.
We believe it is the government's strategy to silence civic voices, especially voices that are critical of the government and the situation in the country.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Pope Francis has donated more than $70,000 to the flood victims in Upper Nile State. An official at Vatican's Office of the Promotion of Integral Human Development says the donation will be sent to the Diocese of Malakal to assist families affected by floods. The Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Malakal says he is yet to receive confirmation of the cash donation. For VOA News, Violo Elias reports from Juba.
The announcement of the Pope's donation comes after devastating flood caused by heavy rainfall in August displaced more than 12,000 people and destroyed an estimated 6,000 homes in the diocese. Bishop Stephen Adoho Ador of the Catholic Diocese of Malakal says Pope Francis realized that the people of South Sudan need more than prayers.
When the issue of the flood also came up, he saw that the people of South Sudan need to be assisted, need to be helped, not only by prayers, but also maybe with also some kind of material assistance. That is why this donation came for the Diocese of Malakal. And the Diocese of Malakal comprises Unity State, Upper Nile State, Tungule State, Rural Administrative Area, and also Bibor Administrative Area. So almost something like five states, and they are all by the flood. That's why I was, as a bishop also, I have to inform the Holy See, the Pope, that is the situation our church is facing. And that is why we are grateful for that generosity and charity.
Bishop Ador says he has not received official communication about the Pope's cash donation, but says he will contact the Juba office of the Vatican Embassy to learn more.
What I saw in like in the social media is something like 75,000. But officially, there is no notification that arrived to my office up to this moment. I did not receive that kind of notification. Just got in the social media like another person. It is already in the embassy in Juba, I mean Malakal.
James Montour Dao is leader of Internally Displaced People CAM, which has been submerged by flood in Malut County for weeks. He says the donation comes at a time when the IDPs are in dire need of assistance. Dao says the IDPs in Malut lack basic necessity like food and water. He says some flood victims have died.
The cash donated must reach as fast as possible as to help those who are affected by the flooding. And this is what we have been calling from the government, business people, the organizations to come rescue our situation here. Right now, as we talk, we are having a meeting with those who have the machines who can help push water back to the river. We welcome this cash donation as to help rescue the internal displaced persons in the camps.
Malut County flood victim Lemi Juagdeng says his family has nowhere to live. He says he appreciates the Pope's donation and anticipate that church authorities in Malakal will prioritize getting food and medicine to the IDPs.
Right now, there are no tents and proper settlement, but what is necessary at the moment is food and hospital or medical facility. Medical health facility. So if there is another support, then maybe they should provide us with mosquito nets, because due to flooding there are a lot of mosquitoes.
Dao says there are about 18,000 internally displaced persons in Malut and Malkal counties of Upper Nile State. The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs estimates that more than 426,000 people have been affected by flood across the country this year. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
The Central Bank of South Sudan has ordered commercial banks to block and freeze accounts of civil society activists associated with the People's Coalition for Civil Action. The Central Bank's Director General for Banking Supervision ordered commercial banks to freeze and block accounts of five activists. The Bank of South Sudan also ordered commercial banks in the country to freeze and block accounts of the SADIN Institute, Organization for Responsive Governance, OK Africa Foundation, and Foundation for Democracy and Accountable Governance. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
The Central Bank's Director General for Banking Supervision, Moses Makurdeng, ordered all commercial banks operating in South Sudan to freeze and block the bank accounts of Abraham Awolich, Wani Michael, Jame David Kolok, Kwela Gwerkwel, and Rajab Mohandis. In a statement released yesterday, Deng also ordered banks to freeze and block the bank accounts of the SAD Institute, Organization for Responsive Governance, OK Foundation, and Foundation for Democracy and Accountable Governance, claiming the four organizations have ties to the PCCA. Rajab Mohandis, a member of the People's Coalition for Civil Action, says the directive is not a surprise to him since he knows the government wants to intimidate and silence the group.
We believe it is the government's strategy to silence civic voices, especially voices that are critical of the government and the situation in the country. Now, the People's Coalition for Civil Action issued a declaration. And in the declaration, we clearly called on the government to take responsibility for the failure of the state to manage affairs of the country. We condemned this state failure and the leadership failure in the country.
Mohandis says his group offered recommendations and called on the government to look into the concerns it raised. The transitional government responded by arresting members of the People's Coalition for Civil Action, a move Mohandis calls typical of repressive regimes. Mohandis acknowledges that closing the organization's bank accounts may affect their operations, but insists the country's leaders should know they have failed South Sudanese citizens who continue to die from preventable diseases. Mohandis says the government should focus on freezing the accounts of corrupt government officials instead of intimidating people working for the development of the nation.
We are not deterred by this attack on the personal bank accounts and the institutional bank accounts. We will continue to demand that the situation in our country changes. We will continue to mobilize South Sudanese to peacefully demonstrate to demand an end to this crisis in the country. We will reiterate our call on the government to fight corruption and to freeze accounts of its officials who have been stealing public resources and banking them outside.
Activist Wani Michael denies being a member of the People's Coalition Civil Action, but says he is a member of a group called Gumna Shabab, a non-violent youth group advocating for change in the country's governance system. Michael says the government's directive did not surprise him either. He says documents released by the Auditor General's office proves the Bank of South Sudan had aided payments and transactions that are not within the confines of the country's laws. He says the government should be sanctioning people who looted public funds instead of going after activists.
Instead of the central bank frozening the accounts of people who have embezzled and looted the money of our country, they are still coming after us. And this is a very clear signal that the Juba regime is not ready for peace. Juba regime is not ready for civil opinions and critical opinions in the country. This shows that we are living in a dictatorial regime.
Michael says several people behind bars in South Sudan are there because of their critical voices. Under South Sudanese law, a person's bank account can only be blocked or frozen if a court issues an order to do so, says Michael.
We are going to seek for legal redress in the court because the central bank did not follow the law, did not follow the Banking Act. So yes, we are going to study the issue and we are going to go to court and challenge that order and the relatives in court, and we'll use the legal instruments that we have.
When South Sudan in Focus contacted Chance Panico, the communications office of the Bank of South Sudan, he declined to comment on the record. For VOA News, I am Winnie Sereno in Juba.
Authorities in Jonglei State Capital Bor have detained 28 members of a gang suspected of causing terror in the town. An activist with the Bor-based advocacy group applauds the ongoing crackdown but cautions authorities against using excessive force. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Brigadier General Ajang Ayunimach, the head of Joint Operation Force, which is leading the crackdown on gangs in Bor town, says authorities have so far apprehended 28 gang members suspected of masterminding attacks, nighttime robberies and house break-ins around town. General Mach says he is working to restore peace and harmony in the town after months of gang activity.
We are arresting the criminals and then we screen them using various means, including identifying them using some of the photos we got on Facebook. We are detaining them.
General Mach says the Joint Operation Force will continue to pursue gang members until there is no more violence caused by gangs. When asked whether the arrested suspect will be arraigned in court for trial, Mike says his mandate ends at apprehending the suspects and the state's top leaders will decide whether or not the suspects will be tried.
I have instructed my forces not to hurt anybody. They go out in two columns searching for them and to arrest them. Those who are found to be innocent will release them, but those whose allegations against them were fixed to be true will detain. I don't know how long they will be detained, but the higher authorities will determine what will be done with them.
General Mach did not disclose where the arrested suspects are being detained, saying only that the government has several detention facilities. Bol Dengbol, an activist with the Bor-based advocacy group Intrepid South Sudan, applauds the government crackdown but cautioned the joint operation forces against engaging in any extrajudicial activities.
I appreciate the operation of the government against this group that most of the time gets violent. You know, among us, even themselves, they hurt themselves, they kill themselves. It's devilish. It's inhuman. It's really not good. So it's good of the government to do that, but it should be done in the right way, with respect to the law and humanity.
Bol says he has heard but could not verify reports that security forces are torturing some of the detained youth. He says he also heard that suspected gang members are being detained at a military barracks in Malwale Chat, which he says is illegal.
We need to know where they are. If they are at Malwale Chat, and then they should not be at Malwale Chat. Unless if they are, army personnel, then they should be at Malwale Chat. But also, if they're not brought to court, and then why are they kept there? For what purpose? Because everybody is a criminal if the competent court of law says so. It is not anybody who decides. Even the president cannot decide that Mr. X is a criminal. No, it is the law of the government. It is the law in the country that says Mr. X is tried and they must be brought to the court.
Bol urges the Jonglei state authorities to ensure that the suspects are tried as soon as possible, and if found guilty, they are sent to correctional facilities where they can reform and become good citizens after serving their prison terms. In August, the United Nations mission in South Sudan released a report indicating that at least 42 people were executed in Lakes and Warabi states without access to fair judicial trials. The report further stated that the suspects were removed from prison and brought before local officials for sentencing, then taken to remote areas, tied on trees, and shot by firing squad. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, scientists have developed a malaria vaccine. Find out how after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
where do you get your health advice from?
Sometimes I get my health advice from my grandmother, who is at home. When I'm sick that I can't control myself, she'll help.
I get my health advice from my friend, colleague, who live together. Well, those who know about, those who have been experiencing more problems about health, they don't advise me through phone. We talk, we chat, discuss everything.
My dad, because my dad is a doctor.
I'd say I get my health advice from various places. The internet, my parents, because I have, my mother is a nurse.
My health advice, I get it on the internet. If I need something on how to deal with obesity, I get it on the internet. Anything I need pertaining to health advice is on the internet.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. The World Health Organization has approved the RTSS malaria vaccine, marking a milestone in the fight against the disease. This recommendation is based on results from an ongoing pilot program in Kenya, Ghana, and Malawi that has reached more than 800,000 children since 2019. As Morino Jambo reports, Africa continues to bear the heaviest malaria burden, with hundreds of thousands of children dying every year.
According to the World Health Organization, one child dies of malaria in every 2 minutes, as the disease remains leading killer of young children in sub-Saharan Africa. Across the three pilot countries, which are Kenya, Ghana, and Malawi, more than 800,000 children have received at least one vaccine dose, and 2.3 million doses have been administered since 2019. Speaking in a virtual press conference, the World Health Organization Director General Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus said that use of the RTSS vaccine to prevent malaria could save thousands of young lives each year.
WHO is recommending the broad use of the world's first malaria vaccine. This long-awaited malaria vaccine is a breakthrough for science, child health, and malaria control. Using this vaccine in addition to existing tools to prevent malaria could save tens of thousands of young lives each year. Community demand for the vaccine is strong.
With more than 400,000 malaria deaths recorded annually across the world, two-thirds of the deaths in children under the age of 5 occur in Africa. WHO Regional Director for Africa, Dr. Mashidiso Moet, said that the vaccine recommendation offers hope for the African continent.
We expect many more African children will be protected from malaria and grow into healthy and productive adults. The RTSS vaccine is a game changer, and it's arriving at the right time. Progress in reducing the malaria burden in Africa has stalled in recent years, and innovative tools and approaches are urgently needed to get the global malaria control effort back on track.
Based on the advice of two WHO global advisory bodies, one for immunization and the other for malaria, the vaccine introduction is achievable, improves health, and saves lives. Dr. Alejandro Cravioto, chair WHO Strategic Advisory Group of Experts on Immunization, has given an assurity that the malaria vaccine is safe.
We can declare that the vaccine is safe and that the safety issues that came out of the initial trial have been resolved satisfactorily and thoroughly to be able to say that we don't have any worries about that. And second, that the vaccine does protect people against a severe disease, such as malaria, and especially the more severe types of malaria.
With Kenya being among the most affected countries in Africa by malaria, the Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta, who is also the current chairman of the African Leaders Malaria Alliance, ALMA, last week said that it was unfortunate that COVID-19 had overshadowed all the efforts that had gone into fighting malaria.
We want to ensure that the great work of the Global Fund and all our other partners have contributed over the years years in helping us fight malaria will not be reversed in the coming years.
World Health Organization says malaria remains a primary cause of childhood illness and death in sub-Saharan Africa. Reporting for VOA, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Milwaukee, USA.
The World Food Program is sounding alarm bell about food insecurity and hunger in the northern Ethiopia's Tigray region as conflict spills into neighboring regions. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The UN Food Agency reports it has completed the first round of food distributions in northern Ethiopia's Amhara and Afar provinces. The operation, which began in mid-August, has reached an estimated 300,000 people affected by the spread of the conflict in Tigray into their territories. However, the World Food Program reports distributions in Tigray are lagging. It says trucks continue to be stuck in the Afar region and are unable to deliver enough crucial supplies for millions of Tigrayan civilians living under dire conditions. A UN analysis of the severity of food insecurity in June estimates up to 400,000 people in Tigray are on the verge of famine. WFP spokesman Thompson Fury says anecdotal reports from all three conflict-affected regions suggest food shortages are on the rise.
In Afar and Amhara, our teams have seen hundreds of thousands of people displaced from their homes. It is absolutely vital that we have the full cooperation and support of all parties to the conflict so that we can reach all affected populations with urgently needed food assistance before we have a humanitarian catastrophe on our hands across all of northern Ethiopia.
The United Nations reports thousands of people have been killed and millions forcibly displaced from their homes since November, when the conflict between the Ethiopian military and the Tigray People's Liberation Front began. The UN says an estimated 5.2 million people, or 90% of Tigray's population, needs humanitarian aid. Theory says WFP aims to reach nearly 3.5 million people across all three regions in the next round of food distributions. However, he acknowledges several obstacles stand in the way of reaching that goal.
The food pipeline in Tigray remains hand to mouth, with a multitude of issues affecting the free movement of convoys. Additionally, the vast majority of commercial trucks have not been able to return from Tigray, which has been one of the major impediments to the delivery of cargo, as we have struggled to convene convoys.
Fury notes a total of 637 trucks have managed to reach Tigray, carrying only 11% of the humanitarian aid needed in the region. He says to adequately feed the population, 100 trucks loaded with life-saving supplies must arrive every day into the beleaguered province. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
From Geneva, we move to Southern Africa, where Malawi's President Lazarus Chikwera has ordered sign language to be used in all television stations, at official functions, and to be recognized as a national language. Malawi's sign language users, numbering to about 400,000 people, have welcomed the move, as Lamik Masina reports from Blantyre.
President Lazarus Chikwera said he was concerned with the challenges deaf people in the country face, largely because of lack of sign language interpreters. He said the problem stems from the fact that most people do not regard sign language as important.
We must stop thinking of sign language as a favor to deaf people. That kind of conversation has no place in this new Malawi that we're building. We need a re-education of our minds to regard sign language as a human right.
Chakwera said every person has a right to acquire education from the moment they are born, including sign language for people born with hearing impairments.
In this new Malawi, we want the use of sign language to be adopted everywhere, for every function, and by every institution.
Chakwera has therefore ordered the Ministry of Information to ensure that all television stations have sign language interpreters. Chakwera said his administration will work with Malawi National Association of the Deaf, MANAD, to make life easier for the country's 400,000 sign language users.
It is because of this commitment that we are supporting the reproduction of the first ever Malawian Sign Language Dictionary developed by MANED to help harmonize the existing sign languages in Malawi into one sign language.
Chimwemwe Kankwamba is a partially deaf student at Exports University in the capital, Lilongwe. She said youth with hearing difficulties are denied loans to start their businesses.
We are excluded because they feel like we cannot pay back those loans, and which is not the right thing, because we are also persons. We are also people with needs. We are also people who want to be somewhere. And to be denied that is, we are being denied our right to do what we believe we can do.
Stefano Manea is the chairperson for the Malawi National Association of the Deaf. He says another challenge is there is only one secondary school for deaf learners in Malawi. He spoke through an interpreter.
So our plea is that government should help us with the special secondary school for the deaf, so that after these learners who do better in a special setup graduate from primary school, they should also get the specialized support in special secondary schools and be able to excel with their education.
Chakwera said his government will look into that, but he said his administration will first focus on training more people who can use sign language in government offices. Malawi currently only has 5 professional sign language interpreters. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre, Malawi.
Let us know what you think about this program. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. That's all we prepared for you this Thursday. We now leave you with Simon Kero and the song Bambe Makaimoto.
Kaimo moya garwa saki Bambe mkaimo moya garwa saki Zaman motoro zede matoturu dumara Zaman matara zede matoturu dumara Bambe mkaimo moya hilo wasaki Bambe mkaimo moya hilo wasaki Washini dunga moya nimefare Washini dunga moya nimefare Aparo emeajiro jini kusende unakwario Aspire karanga yuba na wawo wala Bambe makaimo moya garwa saki Sikiri adabu zede marana madairu Sikiri adabu zede marana madairu Zaman barat zede marana madairu Ya bai guri chugwage Ya bai guri chugwage Washini dunga mayan mefare Washini dunga mayan mefare ndeku
We have been listening to Simon Kero and the song Bambe Makaimoto. I am John Tanza. Thanks for taking time to be with us this evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America.
Sikiri adabu zede.